or just for some. How you a gangster when you scared to bust your gun for the cause? Trust your fam or trust nobody at all. See them brothers getting struck down, they better dust Sam.
Coming, better tuck those chains. If you don't wanna feel them things, if you want it, you can get it, baby. You know you need to get low.
Hello, everybody. Press Start is back, finally. What's today? Wednesday? Today is Wednesday, so hello to everyone out there. This is Press Start, radio for gamers and the gaming community, as those two Jews told you. Today, well, first of all, let me tell you who I am in case you're listening for the first time. I am Justin, a sophisticated artificial intelligence program developed by Cal Poly computer science majors. No, not really. I'm actually the host of Press Start. My name is Justin, and I hope you're tuning in today because we have a very special show. Been working on it for a long time now. And it's going to be a great show. Today, for the next half hour, Press Start is going to be dedicated entirely to a local and highly prolific game developer. You may know them as the goofy and irreverent inhabitants of Oddworld. And I hope you've heard of them because they are very prolific. They are, in the gaming community, they are somebody special. And in fact, you may be interested to know that Oddworld Inhabitants is located right here in downtown San Luis Obispo. That's their headquarters. That's the home of all the weird and strange stuff created by those weird and strange people. But they're also, you know, weird and strange in that really genius way, kind of like Einstein was. The Oddworld games are absolutely just amazing. And I'll be probably using that a lot today because the Oddworld games really are amazing. Monterey Street is the, Monterey, they're in downtown, located right above, Ross. It's the home of the studio. It's the birthplace of all the Oddworld characters, Abe, Munch, Stranger. Everything that makes Oddworld comes right from that building above Ross on Monterey Street. If you're a fan of the series, which I hope you are, then this is, like, you know, stay tuned, please, because this show's gonna be awesome. We've got everything Oddworld. And if you're not a fan of the series, then by 11 o'clock today, you will be.
Everybody listen.
Please everybody listen. So we'll start off, in case you're one of the few out there who doesn't know of Oddworld, we'll start off with a history of the company. In 1994, Lorne Lanning and Sherry McKenna, who are the co-founders, they're veterans of the computer graphics industry, which in 94 was still pretty young. They decided to start a video game development studio, and they opened up temporary offices in Los Osos, California. And then in 1995, they moved to San Luis Obispo, and they opened up the headquarters where it is now, which is on Monterey Street above Ross. And then that same year, 1995, the development of Abe's Odyssey starts, which is the company's first game. And if you don't know that, I mean, you should. Back in 97 when it came out, I mean, Abe was just everywhere. He was sort of like the PlayStation's unofficial mascot. But it was the first game in a quintology of sorts. Lorne Lanning, he had this story idea for a while. You know, he's the creative director and the co-founder. And he had this idea for this story that he wanted to tell. And he split it up into five parts. And Abe's Odyssey is the first of those five parts. And Abe's Odyssey was sort of like a 2D platformer, sort of along the lines of Prince of Persia, maybe the old Prince of Persia, back on like the Apple II, and you can find it on cell phones now and stuff. Sort of like a side view, and you got sort of that invisible grid you walk on where it's not like precise, you know, every step is like a certain like measured distance, I guess. And but what makes Oddworld different was for its time, Oddworld, the graphics in Oddworld was just amazing. As I said, Lorne Lanning was a veteran of the computer graphics industry, and just in Oddworld, you can see so much of that expertise come through. This is the same time Abe's Odyssey came out in 97. I think Final Fantasy VII was out around then, too. This is the time Final Fantasy VII, everyone remembers the great graphics, the great FMVs from Final Fantasy VII, from the cutscenes. Oddworld was doing something completely beyond what games at that time were doing with FMVs. I mean, just the graphics they used for their cutscenes were just great. Even by today's standards, I would say that the Oddworld graphics, the computer, CGI stuff is, I mean, it still measures up today, especially from Abe's Odyssey. I mean, it's just amazing. And then the backgrounds to the game were just great. They were detailed. They were like 3D rendered. I mean, you start up the game and you really can't believe you're playing a PlayStation game. And I think that's a testament to really the great work that they do with 3D graphics down there at Oddworld Inhabitants. And yeah, so 1997, Abe's Odyssey is released on the PlayStation and the PC, and pretty soon it is added to the PlayStation's Greatest Hits list. So, I think that's over a million copies, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And the game receives tons of awards from the press around the world. It gets Best Sound, Best Voice Acting for EGM, Electronic Gaming Monthly Magazine. And actually, it's kind of funny because the voice acting of most of the characters in the games are all done by Lorne Lanning, the guy who founded the company and sort of directs it creatively and comes up with all this stuff. He does the voices for a lot of the characters. And then the other awards that it's earned, in official PlayStation Magazine, it got Best Character Design, and in Britain, it got, and Germany, actually, it got Console Game of the Month. So just a little sampling. I mean, there's tons more. It was insane how many awards it got. And obviously with that success, they decided to create a follow-up game in 98. It was called Oddworld Abe's Exodus. It was not actually part of the Quintology that Lorne Lanning, it was sort of like a side story, but it also got lots of awards. GamePro gave it the E3 Showstopper Award in 97 and got UK Game of the Month again. And then it was actually pretty interesting. Sherry and Lorne, they decided that they would make a short film from sort of the story graphics from the games, and they actually submitted it to the Academy, who judges the Academy Awards. They submitted it as like a short film to, you know, in hopes to be nominated, because the graphics and animation quality were so high, and unfortunately, it didn't end up being there at the Academy Awards. But it is interesting to note that it was shown in Los Angeles for one day in 1998 at an actual theater. Like, you went and you watched this movie of like Oddworld and these computer graphics that they did. So that's pretty interesting, and, you know, it really shows how they're expanding. At Oddworld, they don't just believe in games, they want to expand to sort of just multimedia, you know? They want to make Oddworld unique in every single way they can, and that was one of the ways they did. In 2001, Oddworld Inhabitants agrees to develop the next Oddworld games for the Xbox exclusively. Munch's Odyssey is released in 2001, and actually, Munch's Odyssey won the AIAS Best Animation Award. And animation of Munch's Odyssey is really good too. I mean, they were kind of disappointed with Munch's Odyssey, but the animation was really well done, high quality as you'd expect. And then I think early this year, January 2005, I believe it was. It could have been late 2004. I'm not exactly sure. Oddworld Inhabitants releases Stranger's Wrath for the Xbox, and that game probably their highest reviewed game to date by reviewers and things like that. It's sort of a, I don't know, it's not like a, it's a first-person shooter and a third-person action game in a way, but only in the way that Oddworld can do it. It's really great. The gameplay, it's a first-person shooter, but the ammo you use and the weapon you use, your ammo is, like, live. They're, like, these little animals in the Oddworld universe called Fuzzles, and they're, like, these little furry blob guys, and there's more than that, but, like, Fuzzles are, like, I don't know, they're, like, sort of, they attack, like, you can shoot them, and they, like, attack the bad guy and stuff, and you play this bounty hunter named Stranger. And, yeah, it's really good. I haven't played it myself. I haven't got a chance to. I would like to, but I've seen people playing it, and the graphics are great. And I think the other thing that stands out about Stranger's Wrath that hasn't stood out about the past three Oddworld games is the music. Michael Bross, he did the composition for both Munch's Odyssey and Stranger's Wrath, but by far, Stranger's Wrath, I mean, the music here is sort of an electronica. Some of it's upbeat, some of it's low beat. Sort of like ambient almost, sort of new agey, and I love it. Michael Bross did an amazing job with the music. The previous games didn't, their music was sort of it was sort of like a background sound. Like, you'd hear drums occasionally when there was danger, or there was like sounds, like things clanking or falling. You know, they're supposed to give you that feel like, oh, this is where I am, and it sort of immerse you in the environment. But Stranger's Wrath really has like a great score, a great sound to it. And actually, right now I have something to play for you from that soundtrack so you can see just what I'm talking about. It's from Stranger's Wrath. It is called In the Dam. Thank you. That was In the Dam from Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, and you can sort of see what I'm talking about. It sort of blends like electronica and orchestral elements together, and it's really great stuff. You can actually check out the entire soundtrack if you want to on oddworld.com. They have, pretty much every game and most of the songs, and you can download them. It's really good stuff. I actually, a couple weeks ago, I got the chance to sit down with one of Oddworld Inhabitants' production designers for an interview about Oddworld, San Luis Obispo, and sort of the future of the company, where they're going, maybe some of their next projects. His name is Silvio Abisher, and he is production designer for Oddworld Inhabitants.
So, you're the production designer here at Oddworld Inhabitants, right? Or a production designer?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's what I do. I do production design here at Oddworld. From everything from the little characters to the logos, just all this kind of stuff. So,
how long have you been in San Luis Obispo?
In San Luis Obispo, it's been 7 years.
Seven.
Yeah, and before that, I was in Michigan for 3, working on cars, designing cars and conceptual cars and interiors, things like that. And
how did you make that transition from going from like designing cars to coming here and designing like all this wacky sort of odd stuff?
Well, actually, I went to a school in Switzerland that taught design and drawing and industrial design, things like that. And it's actually called Art Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's down in Pasadena, L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have a sister school in Switzerland, and that's where I went to. And that's where I met a guy who eventually worked at Oddworld. And by staying in touch with him, I eventually ended up here. We're roommates, and we remember having good times drawing crazy things during our school time.
So, interesting. Yeah. And so, what are sort of the dynamics of this job that like you never would have thought of in designing cars? Like, what's some of the stuff that you had to adapt to while you were here?
What I think that the most drastic change was the painting. It's not so much about function and engineering, or here it's really about how cool the drawing looks.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a painter when I got here. I barely was able to design characters. I mean, I did them on my own. I sketched a bunch of crazy things just for fun, but I wasn't really good at it. What ended up taking me here, and I think what they liked is the background in sort of like the engineering and sort of functionality in design, and that brings a nice realism to Oddworld, like making our things look partially functional, like especially the machines and architecture, those kinds of things.
Right. Yeah. Kristen was showing me the sketches of the things from Munch's Odyssey, the vehicles and stuff that you had done, the drawings and everything.
Yeah.
Is there anything? Did you take anything from like from the cars, designing cars, like ideas and stuff?
Definitely. It's more the process of thinking about it, like having to deal with where does the engine go, transmission, fuel. I like thinking about all those things, how they actually be put together, not just making a cool box, but there's no room for anybody to sit in or to access, the pilot seat. Or so when I usually do those vehicles and things like that, I make little cross sections of, okay, just for fun, where would the engine go? Would that be at a reasonable size and things like that? Just structurally too. And then it needs to look pretty solid and convincing that we'll buy it more, because the designs are usually kind of weird shape and disproportioned. So if we can bring in some engineering, in parentheses, qualities to these strange designs, I think they just help. And that's actually a lot of fun. I enjoy doing that a lot.
So, cool.
Mechanical things and stuff
that's
like that.
That's sort of your thing? You're really interested in
mechanics and things like that? I think maybe it's my Swiss background, or being grown up there, and apparently there's a lot of engineers or something like that, I don't know. So maybe that's, I inherited that somehow, and I find that actually quite fun.
Right. So, San Luis Obispo, you mentioned it's a nice town. What did you think when you first came here, San Luis Obispo?
I thought it actually was really beautiful. I was in Michigan in Grand Rapids, so it was very different. You know, the look was very different. The houses were smaller and all these things. But, you know, just having the ocean nearby and the mountains, and Michigan was fairly flat where I was. I thought it was beautiful and very inspiring. And I think it lends itself pretty well for a creative, you know, as a creative environment. I mean, you go up on Bishop's Peak, and at the top there's these like enormous boulders and trees growing around them, and that stuff is totally things that inspire the odd world universe. I mean, these nature, I mean, it's really nature that inspires a lot of things and that we take and twist, but if you actually go out there, you, sometimes there's things that are so unexpected. Like, for example, the Bishop Peak, just these, they look, kind of look out of place almost when you're up there. Those kinds of things are great. So
the real trick is getting up there to begin with.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah. That's good fun, though.
Yeah. Do some of the other people who work here, your colleagues, do they like it here, too? I mean...
Yeah, I think so. I think for maybe some more the single guys, it's a little harder. And I don't know if that's necessarily because they're working, you know, a ton. They're working so much that... maybe they're having a hard time sometimes finding a little social balance, social life. You know, I hope they can eventually kind of balance their professional life a little more with their personal life, and you know, get out there and meet other people. And I think that what's keeping my place more enjoyable is there are a lot of young people around here. There's, you know, there's a lot to do. It's not San Francisco or New York, but you can go out there and find the things that inspire you and give you a sense of balance and those kinds of things. So,
do you live in San Luis Obispo?
Yeah, I just live down on Broad Street.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so got really lucky. I can actually walk to work.
Right. Yeah, I was reading the interview on the Oddworld website with you a long time ago, and you said it's great that you can walk 3 blocks to work. Do you have like a favorite place around here to like eat or hang out or?
I think, eat, there's a lot. I mean, sushi is always nice, and, you know, my clean talk sometimes is fun in the back by the creek. I mean, there's a lot of fun places to go, but one of my favorite places, they're not necessarily to eat, but is, like Linnea's or Rudolph's, or over lunch during the week, actually, Monterey Cafe is actually really good because I'm just be out in the sun for a little bit, you know, for half an hour, just sit out there, and the best part is basically watching people walk by, and because of what I do here, and designing characters, and also their behavior, not just their look, but sort of the ground animations of how they're going to be behaving and walking, and it's pretty fun sitting out there and watching people go by, looking at their postures, and like some people drag their feet, some people, you know, like just different ways they behave, and then you accentuate that or you make it tenfold and you turn that into a character here at Oddworld. Like, wow, this guy is just so weird how he's hunched over and his head is bobbing left and right, and that would work really well for this kind of character that we're doing here, so it's actually quite fun.
You're developing games for a living, you're production designing. Mm-hmm. Are you, do you play video games? I mean, obviously you're really busy here, this is a busy place. Do you ever find time to play video games yourself?
Well, my wife actually doesn't let me too much. I mean, sometimes I did finally buy a PC and played Half-Life, which was great. I just loved it. I played, you know, Halo 1 and 2. Played actually our game quite a bit too, but I never finished it, I have to say. It's pretty horrible. It's I think it's the, you know, it's a hard kid, like Munch and Stranger's Wrath was hard labor.
Right.
And so you kind of almost want to take a break. And I've seen the whole process, but I truly never played the entire game from start to finish.
Yeah, a lot of my friends play Half-Life all the time. They're always on their computer playing and stuff. In the future, do you see your sort of style and things that you develop and sketch out and things like that? Do you sort of see it evolving? And if so, where do you, I don't know, see yourself going?
Just from sketch style and artistically, artistically, it is going almost more into a real world environment where now characters are a little more human. Kristen, stop me if I'm giving something away that we shouldn't. So that's actually pretty exciting because the stuff we've been doing previously, you know, the kind of quirky, weird, they're not necessarily beautiful, but they might be cute or likable. Now I think it evolved where the next game is going. It's evolving definitely into a little harder look, more realistic in a lot of ways actually. Anatomy is more, it's going into more directions of what we know, what we see in real life. So that's actually good. I enjoy that because it kind of gets a fresh air. Fresh breath, or whatever you say in English, into the whole process of designing stuff.
Do you speak any more than English?
Swiss German is my native language, and French, and German and Italian. So English. I mean, English is my third language, but
wow.
I mean, I've been talking it for since I've been here, so I still have an accent, I think, somewhere.
All right, Sylvia, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. No problem. This is amazing. I'm so glad I got the opportunity to come in and, like, get a tour and interview with you. It's just, I'm a huge fan of the Oddworld games, so, when I found out they were in San Luis Obispo, I was just so excited, I just wanted to come in.
Well, it's great having you.
That was Silvio Abisher, and I'd like to thank him very much for taking time out of his busy schedule to interview with me. It was a really fun day, actually. I got to go into the studio down in Monterey, and they gave me a tour, and I was like a kid in a candy store. It was just, like, amazing, like, all the stuff. They really have a cool philosophy down at Oddworld. They live with what they work with. The whole studio is just covered in art and sculptures from the game, and, like, as I was getting this tour, I was just like, wow, I cannot believe I'm surrounded by all these original, like, production drawings of Oddworld stuff, and it's all, a lot of it is from Lorne Lanning. He has a great philosophy on how, the studio should be run in sort of the way the games are presented. I mean, you can tell by the topics that the games decide to cover. I mean, Abe's Odyssey, you look at that. These games are great because there's more than just a video game there. It's sort of like literature, It's like, it's enjoyable, but there's also another level to it. And same with the Oddworld games. Abe's Odyssey, obviously, it dealt a lot with, basically the plot is you're this slave laborer in this meatpacking company, and you find out that you and all your other brethren are going to be slaughtered and used as the next product, and you have to escape and, like, save your friends. And, it touches a lot on issues like, employee mistreatment, things like that. It's really, really just, there's a lot more to see there than just the game and the graphics. There's a great story. There's a great message, too. And I think they really do a good job with that down at Oddworld Inhabitants. So the tour was really great. If you're interested in sort of seeing some of the stuff that I saw, they actually released in December, I think it was, Oddworld released an art booklet. It's called The First 10 Years, 10-Year Anniversary, 94 to 2004, and it showcases the work of everything that Oddworld has done, pretty much. And it sort of gives you a glimpse at what the studio looks like inside. It's got all the, original production stills and computer CGI images and sort of information about each game, each character, and also some stuff about San Luis Obispo that you may not even know. They celebrated Odd Friday, which is what they called it when Abe's Odyssey came out, at Cafe Roma. They had sort of a party. One year they did it at the wine cellar at the Madonna Inn, sort of to celebrate the game being done. So it's pretty cool. It's really, when you think about these games, you never know that they're in your backyard. And I have a new sort of look at different places, like, wow, the guys from Oddworld must eat here sometimes or whatever, so it's pretty interesting. And like Silvio was saying, he sits out in the sun, looks at people as they come by, I guess, and sort of draws them, so you know what he's saying, right? Like, if you're walking along the street doing something funny or weird, you might find yourself in a video game, a year later. No, not really. Maybe. It won't look like you. You'll have green skin, I think. Green skin or something along those lines. The art book, you can check it out. The art book is ballisticpublishing.com. It's an Australian publishing company that does really high-quality computer graphics stuff. Check it out, please. It's a really great book. Almost done here. I have so much stuff to cover today, so we're not going to rush it, but we're going to see what we can do before I'm out. So you may ask, where is Oddworld going in the future? What's the next step for the company? It's sort of, I don't know, interesting, because there's a whole bunch of news that's just been coming out about Oddworld inhabitants. All over the internet, all over magazines. For example, the April issue of Game Informer magazine reported on a new Oddworld game called The Brutal Ballad of Fangus Clot. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. It's supposedly going to be released on the Xbox. The main character is going to be named Fangus, and he must save his homeland of Fangistan from foreign invaders who are attempting to take over or whatnot. And that's the phone. And it's... Hold on. Anyways, sorry about that. Main character and the catch, he's infected with rabies and must combat it before it drives him insane. I'm not sure if that's real or not. It isn't an April issue of a magazine, and so I'm very highly skeptical of April issues of magazines. There's a lot of April Fool's jokes out there that are really taken to the extreme. Everyone remembers the Sonic the Hedgehog pictures from Super Smash Bros. On the GameCube. So, we'll see if Fangus is a real product or not. It's most likely going to be published by Majesco, and not Electronic Arts. And additionally, recent article on GameSpy shed some light on new developments and direction the company is taking. Oddworld inhabitants will no longer be developing the Oddworld games directly. Instead, what they're going to do is they're slimming down and streamlining the development process. So that they're only in charge, the actual Oddworld inhabitants is only in charge of creative design, story, character development, things like that. And they're actually going to be, all the other technical aspects of the process will be sort of outsourced to third-party technology, animation companies, things like that. The GameSpy article has a lot of good quotes from Lauren Lanning, and you can check it out on the oddworld.com homepage. But yeah, so it's only going to be creative design, story, art, production design, things like that. No more technical aspects of the game are going to be coming from Oddworld inhabitants. It's only going to be creative side. I think the worst news, maybe not for them, because I'm sure it's a smart decision for them, but the worst news for me is that they're no longer going to be in San Luis Obispo when this happens. They are leaving for Berkeley, California, and that's kind of sad.
No way.
Yes way. They are not going to be here anymore. So, but that's okay, because they really I think made this community unique in the way that they sort of just stood out. I mean, they developed video games and everything comes from the studio and on Monterey Street, and it's just I can't seem to, I don't know, get my mind around the fact that they're here, but sadly they will not be here for much longer. They're going to Berkeley, but I hope they have success and what they're doing. They want to branch out into more sort of forms of media. I hope they have lots of success, because I really love the work they do there. It's great stuff. So I'm actually, because they're leaving, I can't tell you too much because some of them are probably listening right now, but I have sort of a gift, I guess you could say, sort of a gift, I suppose, I'm sort of working on. So if you have anything to say to Oddworld, if you have any fan art, messages, etc., go ahead and email them to the show. Email address is pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. Pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. And I will let you know more about what I'm doing if you email it. Email the show. We'll tell you what's going on and how that's going to be used, things like that. Nothing illegal or anything like that. Just fun little thing I'm doing for Oddworld because I love them so much. So, Oddworld, let me be the first to say we will miss you. Finally, I would like to thank, before I'm out of here, I would like to thank all the people who helped help me put together the show on Oddworld. Silvio Abisher for the interview, Kristen Inman, and of course Sherry McKenna and Lauren Lanning for the wonderful world they've shared with us, leaving their mark on the town of San Luis Obispo. Also, I'd like to thank the wonderful people at Oddworld Web, who they graciously and so nicely promoted this show on the internet, on their website, that's an Oddworld fan site, for everyone to see. Thank you for that. Don't forget to check out the Oddworld games. PlayStation 1 has Abe's Odyssey and Abe's Exodus, and the Xbox, Stranger's Wrath and Munch's Odyssey. Also, the art book, ballisticpublishing.com, for if you want to check out the art book. Check out oddworld.com, the home site for them. The music's on there. And, yeah, just all around thank you. Thank you, Oddworld, I guess, is basically what this show is about. Thank you, Oddworld, for everything that you do. That is Press Start for this week. I will be back next Wednesday at 10:30. We've switched this quarter. Freakin' Sports is actually now on Mondays, and Press Start is on Wednesdays at 10:30 a.m. I will leave you now with a song from Stranger's Wrath. It is called The Native Village, my personal favorite off of the soundtrack. Thank you for joining me. I am Justin. Game over.